Ready?
We're going to begin the meeting. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of Recreation and Parks Commissioners. Today is November 6, 2025. This board meeting will be conducted in person. All public comments will be taken in person only. Each speaker will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. Takesha, will you please take the roll?
We'll do Vice President Sanchez. Vice President Sanchez.
Present.
Commissioner Tran.
Present.
Commissioner Lloyd.
Present.
And we have quorum, Vice President Sanchez.
Thank you. Can I please have a motion to approve the minutes for October 16, 2025?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Takesha, will you please conduct the vote?
Yes, Vice President Sanchez. We have a motion and a second to approve the regular minutes from October 16, 2025. Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Will we move on to the general manager's update?
Good morning, Vice President Sanchez, commissioners, staff, and members of the public. Jimmy Kim, general manager. I would like to invite the superintendent of the West Region, Ms. Sonia Young Jimenez, for the introduction of staff here at Mar Vista Park and Recreation Center.
All right. Good morning, commissioners and staff and community. My name is Sonia Young Jimenez, like you just said, the superintendent for the West Region. So I'm joined today by the West Region management team, Mr. Mike Harrison, our principal recreation supervisor two, Juan Soto, he's actually at conference this week, but he's our principal supervisor one, Melody Gutierrez oversees our section here as supervisor. She's in the back. And our other supervisors are also here, Courtney Norris and Leslie Richter. I wanted to thank our staff. You guys see our staff here who helped prepare today. Our senior director, Mr. Keith Rice, our facility director, Conrad Jones, and our recreation coordinator, Gianna Campos, and all the rec assistants here. So just a little history of Mar Vista. Now that I heard this is where Matt grew up playing basketball. Initiated with the 20-acre parcel just south of Westdale Village, which is Woodbine Avenue today, running to Palms Boulevard, was acquired by the Department of Rec and Parks in the summer of 1948 for $100,000. In 1956, a fork of Westwood and Sawtell Storm Channel burrowed through the city. City officials had originally planned to build a fence around the 23-foot deep conduit, but community opposition forced them to cover the channel as they had on McLaughlin Avenue. That storm channel flows under today's soccer field. The park's building, baseball diamonds, picnic areas, and parking lots would not be completed until 1961. At first known as the Mar Vista Playground, it's today Mar Vista Recreation Center. The Mar Vista Park Advisory Board was formed in 99, working with the Mar Vista Recreation Center director, and helped do several improvements, including one of our own hockey rings here outside, which provides recreation opportunities for youth and adults. That opened in 2001. We have a turf soccer field with more than 600 youth players that opened in 2005. And we partner often with Windward School, and they help us a lot with some improvements at our facility, including a new playground equipment that was installed in 2009. So here we have our gymnasium, which you guys are in today. We have active volleyball and basketball. Our auditorium that's next door, baseball diamond, our outdoor courts, our children's play area, tennis courts, picnic tables, our synthetic soccer field, and our seasonal pool. I also wanted to thank our behind the scenes staff, our maintenance team. Behind me, we have Mr. Superintendent Robert Buenostro, our construction and maintenance supervisor, Kevin Grimm, principal grounds maintenance supervisor, Leo Floyd, senior park maintenance supervisor, Clinton Stevenson, our park maintenance supervisor, Oseas Lopez, senior lead, Scott Martins, gardener caretaker, Carlos Luna Marquez, our SBA 2, Tony Elias, and SBA 2, Jessica Ortega. And I just want to thank you guys for coming today and enjoy Mar Vista. Thank you.
Thank you, Sonia, superintendent of the West Region. If we could get a quick round of applause for the Mar Vista staff and the West Region staff here representing today. Thank you so much for all your service and your work. Just a quick reminder for those listening and those in attendance today, don't forget to visit us at laparks.org for special events information as well as program information. I'll go now into the general manager updates. The commission office has received various communications from constituents, and we have assigned appropriate staff for follow-up. For specific items requested by the board, for the Elysian Park Master Plan requested by Vice President Sanchez related to the community involvement, I wanted to report back that the Elysian Park Master Plan has not yet been awarded, but public engagement is part of the project scope, and that will start once the project is awarded to the appropriate bidder. For Lemon Grove, this again requested by Vice President Sanchez, staff are coordinating with the senior lead officer to increase enforcement around gang and public drinking issues. Maintenance staff has requested, or we have requested maintenance staff to provide additional support for graffiti abatement and homeless encampment removal so that those issues are addressed as they come up. I also wanted to mention that the facility does have a successful co-rec futsal program, but we are also aware of the demand for converting existing green space into a permanent futsal court. We're currently in discussions with the community and the council office to determine if that is an appropriate use of the green space as we move forward. Additionally, as requested by Commissioner Lloyd for the Hazard Park exterior restroom, the restroom is part of the overall scope to make park-wide improvements at Hazard Park. The project is currently in design phase with our consultant. We are at about 15% complete with design, and we anticipate completing the construction documents and going out to bid for construction by spring of 2026. So that concludes the general manager updates. Now I would like to bring up Megan Loera from our planning division to report on our fiscal year 24-25 park fee annual report update. Ms. Megan Loera.
Good morning, Commissioners. Megan Loera, Planning, Maintenance, and Construction Branch. I'm here to present the fiscal year 2025 park fee annual report. Per LAMC section 12.33(i)(2), RAP is required to present an annual report to the board within 180 days of the end of the fiscal year that includes information about the park fees collected, transferred, expended, committed, and the construction status of projects that have received park fee funding. The report before you today covers fiscal year 2025, which was from July 1st, 2024 to June 30th, 2025. In fiscal year 2025, RAP collected approximately $51 million in park fees. The board committed approximately $41 million to 55 projects. And then RAP also expended $35 million across 88 projects. The park fee staff processed approximately 1,500 park fee applications in the fiscal year. As of June 30th, 2025, there is approximately $163 million in uncommitted park fees, meaning that the board has not taken action to commit those funds to specified projects. I'd like to thank David Lee, Robert Eastland, Nicholas Caulfield, Jeremy Silva, Rachel Rubio, and the finance staff for their assistance in the preparation of this report. And this concludes my report.
Thank you very much. Next, I would like to bring up Mr. Patrick Siggins to provide the ABH Riverside Ambassador Program update.
Commissioner Bain joined the meeting.
Thank you. Mr. Morning, Patrick everyone. Siggins.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Patrick Siggins, Director of Homelessness Services for the Office of Nithya Raman, Council District 4. I'm here today to speak on the ongoing services of the ABH Riverside Ambassador Program and to offer some recent updates pertinent to the ABH shelter. As discussed in my previous presentation before this commission, the initial provider selected through an RFP procurement process administered by LASA for fiscal year 25-26 was unable to fulfill contractual obligations. To ensure that there would be no service interruption, a temporary provider, Bear Truth, was brought in to operate the facility. I'm happy to announce that as of October 1st, Weingart has taken over operations for the remainder of the fiscal year. Regarding ambassador program updates, as previously reported to the board, the ambassador program continues to engage with ABH enrolled participants, both inside and outside the ABH shelter, and outreaches to potential non-participants experiencing homelessness extending along Riverside Drive from Los Feliz Boulevard to the Hyperion Avenue Bridge. The ABH Riverside Program, Ambassador Program, provides a supportive role for ABH Riverside residents, including but not limited to ongoing on-foot homeless outreach in the area, twice weekly shuttles to and from near off-site services, and drop-in programs with targeted support, including social activities, clothing, community, mail services, Metro Life Program, pet care, bike repair, haircuts, job connections, and more. The numbers from October through September 2025 report 132 direct participant engagements, 18 programming events, and 69 shuttle rides from off-site locations. The above ambassador program captures just a few highlights of the important work this program is doing. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the commissioners, both on this report back as well as the Park Fee annual report update?
First, thank you again for coming, and apologies for the mix-up in the last meeting. My question to you is a little bit more general. So with our kind of budget restraints as a city and obviously budget cuts that we're seeing in housing and homelessness at the federal and state level, you know, what are you thinking about in terms of the next, in 2026 and then the next fiscal year? What are your concerns around our funding with housing and homelessness? How does Bridge Home play a part in kind of your overall plan? How can we be supportive as more cuts are coming?
Well, I mean, that's a big question, which is being grappled with, you know, across the city and county now. We're facing, you know, financial headwinds from federal, state, and local cuts. And obviously there's the, you know, changes going on with the county and the county building a department. As far as, you know, cost savings, a lot of the focus right now is keeping folks who are already housed both in permanent supportive housing and in interim sites, making sure that they're staying, that no one's who's moved indoors already is because of pending cuts, you know, moved outside, back outside. Obviously, shelters like ABH Riverside are a key component to keeping folks indoors, and is one of our lowest cost typologies to keep folks in interim shelter. So, I mean, that, you know, congregate low cost beds are, you know, are going to be one of the solutions to, you know, riding through this, these kind of fiscal barriers and headwinds we're seeing now.
Thank you.
If there's no other questions, thank you very much for your updates.
Thank you.
And before I close out the general manager updates, I did want to bring up the fact that this location, during the last time I visited this location, was during the just after the Palisades fire. Mar Vista Rec Center and staff, as well as staff over at Palisades Rec Center, supported the care camps here at the center for the kids that were displaced because they had, you know, they had nowhere to go in terms of schools and things like that. So thank you to the staff and the community here for supporting, you know, the overall city's support. So this is also one of those locations that we regularly use if for a local shelter. So thank you again to the staff here, as well as the community, for being part of our support network throughout the city. So thank you. And with that, that ends my general manager update. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jimmy. We will now move on to general public comment for members of the public who wish to comment on matters under the jurisdiction of the Department of Rec and Parks. Takesha, will you please conduct public comment?
Will do, Vice President Sanchez. I will call the first three constituents to come up to the podium to make a public comment. You will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. And if you wish to make a further comment, you can send them to our RAP inbox at rap.commissioners@lacity.org. And I'm going to bring up the first three. Terry Saucier, Cameron Flanagan, and Corey Weaver.
Good morning. First, I'd like to thank you for your work on the RFP to compare artificial turf to natural grass as called for in last year's Council File 240602. However, there are concerns about transparency. The RFP was posted on RAMP September 12th, and less than 30 days later, a mandatory meeting was held. This quick turnaround could have prevented multiple organizations from participating. On October 30th, Councilman Bloomingfield sent RAMP a letter requesting that the bidding process be open to allow additional bids. What is the status of this? You know of at least one company, an approved vendor, that would apply if given enough notice and time. Also, the information on the RAMP website should be open to the public. It was only after multiple requests we were able to get a copy of the RFP and attachments. It's also important to note that this final study will be widely reviewed, not just in LA, but statewide and nationally. It's critical that it be awarded and conducted with full transparency, with the goal of producing a thorough and unbiased report that takes into account the full impacts on human health, the environment, and wildlife. Some concerns to consider. Artificial turf is a fossil fuel-based petrochemical plastic that contains PFAS and other toxic chemicals, as well as microplastics that are known carcinogens, neurotoxins, and hormone disruptors. Not only harms those who use it, but also pollutes the air, water, and soil. Artificial turf does not save water. The amount of water required to produce it and to cool and clean it is greater than that needed to maintain drought-tolerant grasses. It also impedes stormwater capture and increases the risk of flooding with contaminated stormwater runoff. Artificial turf also gets too hot and can cause serious heat illnesses and injuries. Dangerous surface temperatures will lead to less playing time. We need to prioritize natural, green, cooler spaces for all Angelenos. And because it's made of mixed plastic, it will never be economically viable for recycling. From cradle to grave, artificial turf contributes to greenhouse gas emissions and climate change. Unfortunately, we have natural, native, drought-tolerant hybrid grasses that use 50 to 80% less water, thrive in our climate, recharge our groundwater, and when maintained with regenerative organic practices are far superior, safer than artificial
turf. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, commissioners. You heard from Patrick Siggins earlier about the ABH Riverside site. There are still ongoing circumstances around the Riverside Bridge Home Shelter. There have been for the past 5 years. And Rec and Parks, you're well-versed now that you have an increased liability exposure there, particularly in light of what had happened with the death in July 5th outside the shelter. If you don't have any indemnity, you guys need to look into that to make sure that you are well covered. Weingart is a well-capitalized operation, and currently it's on the parkland operating the facility unlawfully because the lease has not technically gone through the Municipal Facilities Committee. I also want to bring up that in light of the mayor sunsetting the emergency declaration yesterday and the fact that the 180-day temporary stay law 12.08 was brought in line with the state law in March of this year, shelter residents are tending to stay longer at the interim shelters. And I'm seeing that they're falling further into substance use and mental health issues. And that has been manifest in an increase in nuisance and crime in the surrounding community. In October 2025, the highest calls in the Northeast LAPD division came from Riverside Bridge Home Shelter. As a result, LAPD has needed to engage all levels of staff to address the nuisance and safety issues at this location. There is some confusion. I think I'm not seeing Patrick Siggins at the shelter that often. And I have not heard from one client that there is a social program going on and that there are the things that he has reported are happening in the ambassador program. So unless I'm drinking a different Kool-Aid than Mr. Siggins, I think that we need to have a hearing about this Riverside Bridge Home Shelter. We've asked for it repeatedly. In August, we asked for it. And again, now
here
we are.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Carrie Weaver, and I have been a proud resident and taxpayer of Los Angeles for the past 26 years. I've raised my family here, worked here, and volunteered within our school system. Earlier this year, I experienced the loss of my home in Pacific Palisades, a reminder of how closely our lives are tied to the health of our environment. Today, I want to address an issue of growing concern to me and many residents, which is the increasing use of artificial turf in our city's public parks and recreation spaces, specifically the discussion for artificial turf at Pacific Palisades Park. As a mother of three children who have grown up playing in our community parks, I believe strongly we must preserve and expand natural grass areas, not replace them with artificial materials. Natural grass plays an essential role in our ecosystem. Like trees and other plants, it removes carbon dioxide from the air and releases oxygen, helping to improve the air we breathe. There is a misconception that natural grass cannot be water wise. In fact, when properly maintained, grass can be an efficient and sustainable choice. Facilities such as BMO Stadium, home of LAFC, maintain lush natural turf through professional care and best practices. With proper protocols and trained groundskeepers, our city fields can thrive in a responsible, water-conscious way. This also opens a career path and educational opportunities for those interested in sports turf management. Perhaps most importantly, natural grass contributes to the emotional and physical health of our community. Research shows that exposure to living landscapes, walking barefoot on grass, smelling the earth, seeing green, has measurable benefits for mental health. It reduces stress, promotes happiness, and enhances our overall sense of well-being. Our children deserve to play on real grass, to feel connected to nature in a city already filled with so much concrete. In closing, our parks are sacred spaces. They are where families gather, children grow, and communities connect. I urge the board to protect these natural environments.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And I also have a petition that over 600 people in Palisades have signed. Yeah.
I'm going to bring up the next three, Janice Crystal, Donna Vaccarino, and Jerry Hornoff.
Good morning. I am Janice Crystal. I also lost my home in the Palisades, which has brought me to try and help the park in the Palisades and actually all over Los Angeles. I'm speaking from personal experience about artificial turf. I have children and grandchildren who recently played actually in a place in Beverly Hills where it was only 80 degrees and the fumes coming from the artificial turf, the plastic, was incredible. They ended up stopping the game. The kids were so overheated, they could barely breathe. This is a plea. I don't need to be here. My kids are no longer playing in the Palisades. They're older. My grandchildren are older. I'm here for the future of all the kids who should not be playing on artificial turf. And honestly, LA should be leading the charge on this. Parks, the schools, it's all over the place. Whether it's whatever the underground part of the plastic is, the plastic ends up in our oceans. That's my plea today, and I'll be trying to speak in all the park meetings whenever I can. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Donna Vaccarino. I'm president of the Pacific Palisades Historical Society and a resident of Palisades that recently lost their house as well. I'm here to speak to you with regards to the historic Pacific Palisades Community Park building, the old gym, which opened in 1950. It was called Pacific Palisades Playground Clubhouse. The current proposed Steadfast LA Park Plan does not show the existing building. They're recommending that the 7,100 square foot essential services building be replaced by a 33,000 square foot sports center. Demolition of a $4 million public asset building for a private sports center. The proposed project is four times the size of the existing community park building, and it is exclusively designed for sports activities, nothing else. No senior activities, training, lectures, kids' theaters, spelling bees, community events. Instead, it has two regulation basketball courts, four bocce ball courts, new offices, 18 bathrooms, a small meeting room. Additionally, on the site, a multi-purpose play field, two additional basketball courts, included are the existing 8 tennis courts, 4 diamond baseball field, and 3 bocce ball courts. 4 times the sports activity, but 100% reduction in multi-generational community services, and no increase in parking. The existing historic multi-purpose community building has been replaced with a regional sports center, no longer a neighborhood park.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Can I submit meeting minutes from a virtual meeting with Jimmy Kim, General Manager, and Amanda Delforce? Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good morning. My name is Jerry Hornoff. I'm wearing 2 hats. I serve on the Park Advisory Board here at Mar Vista, as well as president of Westdale Homeowners Association, which is just north of the park here. First of all, thank you and welcome to Mar Vista. My comments are related to a couple of things. First of all, I'd like to thank the staff here at Mar Vista Rec Center for all of their support, all of the programming we're able to do here, the support they get from the district office. It's wonderful. And many of the issues that come up here at the park, working in collaboration with them, we're able to resolve those issues either with park resources or volunteer resources. And it's been a very cooperative and enjoyable relationship. One of the issues that I wanted to bring to this board's attention, which you probably maybe already know, is an issue we can't really deal with, which is in the area of public safety and the presence of enforcement. That we have 3 issues that come up regularly before the Park Advisory Board. One has to do with off-leash dog issues and the incidents that occur from that. The other is after-hour park use, people staying here well after closing. And the third is the fact that the parking lots are not locked in the evenings, and as a result, we have a lot of people who stay in the parking lots. And so I totally appreciate the lack of resources that the Park Ranger system has and how overextended the Los Angeles Police Department Pacific Division is. And they respond when it's really a critical issue, but it's difficult for them to respond to those issues. So I would ask if you could begin to think about ways that we could address those issues, perhaps with contract support. It's something the park staff really can't do. You can't ask staff members to go out there and confront people who are in the park after hours or who don't want to leave or who are their dogs off leash. And so if those are issues you could think about, I know historically we used to have, I think, a contract service that locked.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your attention and appreciate it.
I'm going to bring up the last constituent, Ariana Walker.
Hi, Parks and Rec team. So I came to you guys last meeting about MacArthur Park, and unfortunately, what ended up happening was that you guys decided to lump it in with another initiative instead of caring about the people and instead of using your heart and your compassion. What you decided to do instead was lead with, I don't know, maybe your money or your resources or the things that you're going to be receiving as a result of pushing these initiatives forward. I don't know how to tell council members or Parks and Rec that people are far more important than buildings, than sidewalks, than parking lots. I really don't know how to make an effective point that would be poignant enough for you to understand how great this is going to impact our city. It seems that LAPD is protecting all these buildings, but they're supposed to be protecting and serving us. So how are you protecting and how are you serving your parks community? And if it's not about the people, then what are you here for? Thank you.
Thank you. Vice President Sanchez, I do not have any further requests for general public comment.
Thank you, Takesha. Before we consider the board reports, we will now hear from any member of the public who wants to make a public comment on board reports.
I have not received any board report public comment requests.
Oh, okay. So I want to take actually all the items on consent today. So 25185, 25186, 25187, 25188, 25189, 25190, 25191, 25192, 25193, 25194, 25195, 25196, 25197, 25198, 25199. Have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Richard Bain seconds.
Isha, can you please conduct the vote?
Yeah, we'll leave it. We have a motion and a second to approve the following board reports on consent. 25-185, 186, 187, 188, 189, 190, 191, 192, 193, 194, 195, 196, 197, 198, and 199. Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Bain, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any commission task force updates for today?
Yes, we do. We had a good meeting last 2 weeks ago. There are three main items that were discussed. The staff gave us an update on the Rancho Park Golf Clubhouse project that is moving along in terms of the rebuild from the department side. And then also in parallel, there is an RFP out there for the F&B portion for the concessions that will be built out as well as we try to move this project forward. The proposal date for the F&B concessions were extended to October 12, 28 at that time. And that's actually further extended to November 13th to give more opportunity for people to be a part of that process so that we can end up with a great concessionaire. Second update was about the Glenwood Park F&B Concession Park Center, and we got an update on the improvements there. And then lastly, we talked about the public Wi-Fi system RFP. So we are soliciting companies to support the installation of Wi-Fi systems at the facilities that are needed for the public and also some for critical staff as well. That is my update.
Is the goal of the Wi-Fi RFP to have internet access at every RAP facility?
I think we'll start with a few facilities. There is an approach to how we approach public Wi-Fi. It'll be a sign-on ad system based, meaning similar to quicker Wi-Fi when you sign in. That supports the financial feasibility of it, but that's the goal. Anything to add, Commission?
No, but I mean, we really want to make sure that the initial outlay of those sites was spread equitably across the community. So we did ask for a little bit of clarity on the targeting.
I asked because I know that there is not internet access for RAP employees at many of our facilities. So understanding the public benefit of Wi-Fi, absolutely, but also want to make sure our employees can have access.
That was a major point of discussion, that the critical staff do have access to actually perform their job. So that's something that we'll look into as well.
All right, thank you. So now on commission business, is there any comment from commissioners on future agenda items within the board's jurisdiction?
I have a couple. I have received some outreach from the community around the play structure or proposed play structure at the Obama Rec Center. And just want to make sure that when the project comes to the board for consideration, that their safety concerns have been addressed. And I also would love to hear updates on both the Pacific Palisades project and any Olympics projects before the end of the year.
Commissioner Vane seconds both of those. Also got that outreach for, about the Obama Park. I would love an update. I know we touched on it the last meeting too, but we've gotten a lot of outreach over this last period about the artificial turf stuff. So we'd love an update on the artificial turf report, a little more clarity on the process there. I know we touched on that last time, but let's underline that for the constituents. And then also a little bit of an update addressing some of the concerns we heard today about the Mar Vista Parks issues. I mean, I know those are part of our broader strategy around securing our spaces, but if we can have any kind of specific updates for the folks at this park, that'd be great.
Just to answer that question, we are expecting an update in our next task force meeting, and we'll bring that to the larger board.
Thank you. Okay. For public note as well.
Okay. Anything else from commissioners? Okay, thank you. So our next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, November 20th, 2025 at 9 a.m. at the Balboa Sports Complex at 17015 Burbank Boulevard in Encino, 91316. This meeting is now adjourned.